listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
How many of you ever come to a place in your life where you felt like things are coming unglued? The nails are backing off. Things are coming apart. Let's look at this passage of Scripture. For by Him. The Bible is talking there about Jesus. Paul is writing about Jesus to this church in Colossae in Asia Minor, and he says, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. How many know that covers a lot of ground? Let's back up a little bit. There are three phrases here that you got to get your head around real quick, like, because Paul is saying some amazing stuff. By Him, by Jesus, all things were created. In heaven and earth. How many know that's a lot of real estate? Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. How many know we've just said some things that we could camp on for a week right now? Then it goes on to say, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Have you ever considered the vastness of God's creation lately? Let me give you just one perspective. I didn't get this from Louis Gigolot, but he's an amazing guy. If you've listened to any of his material, he has got such insight in declaring the vastness and the grace of God, the goodness of God. But here, let me tell you, have you ever considered that more than 1 million planets the size of this earth? Stop there for a minute. How many know it takes quite a while to get around this earth? This earth is pretty big. But if you were to take 1 million earths, how many know that would fill the volume capacity of the sun? That's how big the sun is. 1 million earths. Did you just get that? Was your mind still kind of working through that? The vastness of God, the greatness of God. And when we consider this vast size of our universe, we really don't even have a mental template for gauging just how big things really are. The size and the grandeur of God's created universe literally are mind-boggling. But what I want to say about all that is that Jesus created all of that. So when you watch the series, the episodes of The Chosen, and you see Jesus working wonders on the very planet that He created, with the very people that He created, this is an amazing story that we're living called life. And not only is Jesus the one who spoke these gigantic celestial bodies into existence, the galaxy after galaxy after galaxy, he made them. That is, it says in the Bible, by him all things were created. Heaven, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. What I'm really getting to here this morning is the fact that he is also the one who sustains all this vast infrastructure of creation by his wisdom and his power. Did you get that? He's the one that holds it together. And how does he do that? By his wisdom and his power. It says in the Bible, in him all things hold together. Scientists studying individual atoms encounter the mystery and the complexity of how seemingly repellent forces can remain in one piece. The phenomena is called and named the strong nuclear force. Why is it that in the case of an atom, it doesn't come apart? Why doesn't it fly completely in all different directions? You see, the bottom line is, it isn't as simplistic an answer as it may seem. But it is true, in him all things are held together. And what would ever happen if Jesus stopped holding everything together? Have you thought of that? In the book of 2 Peter, we learn that there is a thing or a time known as the day of the Lord. And that's an important time. It's a time of the Father's judgment that is to be implemented at the Father's direction. And this will come, the Bible says, like a thief in the night. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. What a day. That's called the day of the Lord. This is not mythology, church. This is factual Bible. One day, everything is coming completely unglued in an explosion likened to a nuclear blowout, and such as no apocalyptic movie could ever adequately depict. Christ is going to withdraw his sustaining, his holding influence in this universe. And all humankind will see what's been holding us together all along. Not what, but who. Because the Bible says Jesus holds it all together. So, how thankful are you today that Christ, who is before all things, who needed absolutely nothing outside of his eternal relationship with his Father to fulfill him, he chose to create this world and this cosmos, and he chose to create you on this planet. And how thankful are you that he upholds the universe by the power of his, by the word of his power, according to Hebrews. So, when he lays claim to our heart and we yield to him and say, I am the Lord and there is none other, when he says that, how do you respond to his authority? Given the fact that he is absolutely in charge, he's given you and I what is called a free will. And we get to choose him to be Lord and King of our life. What's our response? How do we respond? Does his commands to us feel like a gift? Or does it feel like an intrusion in our life? Because we got places to go, things to do, and people to see. For each of us, he is holding our lives and he is holding our world together. So let's be honest this morning. We can't even brew that first cup of coffee in the morning apart from the biological and mental capacities that he has given us. And by the way, the physical laws that hold our bodies and that coffee mug together, that's all he's doing as well. Yet somehow we are tempted to respond to him with indifference. We get prideful. We get pretty arrogant sometimes. And we have a disillusional sense of self-reliance. Excuse the real picture. Please, I ask you, don't fall into that category. Instead, here's my counsel this morning. Put Christ first, because in reality, he is first. He is preeminent in all things. He not only put you together, but he also holds you together. There's a little phrase out there, I want to spend a little time on this, and that is called living for God. How many have heard people say, maybe you have, I have, well, that person's living for God, or I'm living for God, or whatever. What does that really mean? We're living for God. In fact, it might mean that one day, way back then, we made a decision to follow Jesus. But that's not where we're living. We're just living for ourselves, but we say we're living for God. How many know that term needs to be qualified in our life? Are we really living for God? So in light of all of what I've said to you this morning, I want to break this down to you, because if he is holding everything together, including our life, and by the way, we come to a place quite often where we feel our world's coming apart. I had kind of a last 2 weeks of my life had been kind of like that. Kind of felt like my world's coming apart. But it's only the world that I know. It's not the real world. How many know Jesus is in charge of the real world? And so the fact remains, when we choose to live for God and we do so with the backdrop that he is in charge, he created everything, he sustains everything, he holds it together, then our most logical response is to live for him. Isn't that right? Live for God. Don't choose your own way. Live for him. So what does living for God really look like? Because it's the only appropriate way to go. I'm going to give you a few things, four to be exact, this morning, and you got those in your notes. this is what you need to remind yourself of when you get between a rock and a hard place. When you begin to sense your life, the screws are backing off, the nails aren't holding, the glue's coming apart, and you feel like, boy, where is this going? Could be any one of the many things that you could be experiencing. So the first thing that I think we need to do, and we sang it, by the way, this morning, surrender our lives to God. The worship team led us, I surrender, right? That's the first thing we do out of the gate, is surrender our life to God. Turn the controls over to Jesus. Hey, I want to break this to you. Jesus has no desire to be your co-pilot. He has absolutely no desire to sit in the passenger seat of your car. He wants to be in this behind the steering wheel of your life. That's huge. That's how we start the journey of living for God. We surrender our will to Him. Number two, we make choices in keeping with the Word of God. I don't know, but I think I gave you a statistic a while back how many choices the average human being makes every day. We're not talking dozens, folks. We're talking hundreds and hundreds, literally hundreds of choices every day. And every one of those choices need to be established based on God's Word. And as believers, of course we are immersed in God's Word. So we're supposed to know God's Word when we're faced with a choice. We make a godly choice. We're not going to do the Yogi Berra-ism. It says, when you come to a Y in the road, you take it. That was supposed to be funny. Because if you operate your life on yogiism, it can lead you into some dark places. You want to operate your word by when you come to a Y in the road, what does God's Word have to say about that? Okay? Number three. Become a player in the kingdom of God. And this is a huge idea because life is made up of players and fans. When you go to a baseball game, there's only one of two things you do. You're either on the playing field or you're in the stands, right? So that baseball stadium is a picture of our journey in God. We're either a player or we're in the stands. And by the way, there are more players or stands or fans people than there are usually players. Is that the way the kingdom is set up? That's where illustrations break down. Because God's design is that you become a player and not a spectator. So we need to become a player in God's kingdom. God has made you uniquely. He's given you gifts to contribute. So we need to use our gifts for Him and for the advancement of His kingdom. And here's the last thing I want you to remind yourself of. Where you're between a rock and a hard place, stay the course. Just show up and be faithful. I mean, no, that's sometimes easier said than done. But just show up and be faithful to what God's asked you to do. So, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that we all find ourselves many times in hard spots. And we all face moments in our life when we get the feeling things are coming apart. But I'm here to tell you that not only did Jesus create everything, but he's holding it together. And when our lives are anchored in him, surrendered in him, and we're following the mandates of the kingdom, you're going to begin to see the goodness of God overtake you. I want to give you a word to the wise before we wrap up here today. Some days in your life, you are going to feel as if you can barely hold it together. I want you to take comfort and have confidence that you can draw from the fact that Jesus himself is still holding you together. The day of the Lord has not yet arrived, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. And in that moment, begin to realize that God himself is revealing his strength to you even in your deepest and darkest moment. Stand on your feet. I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to release you from this place, trusting God in a way you haven't trusted him in a long time. It's been an amazing service. I mean, there has just been such a sweet, sweet sense of God's presence in worship. Ministry. Some of you were ministered to powerfully. And I want you to take what God says to us in his word this morning. When you think your whole life is coming apart for one reason or another, keep in mind that he wants to reveal, God wants to reveal his strength to you. Lift your hands right now. Father, as we stand in this place today, tons of people here who represent all kinds of different situations. You have been so faithful in this place. You've ministered. Your presence has come. You're still amongst us. And Lord, as we digest this word, that literally says you're the creator of everything and you're the sustainer, the holder, or together of everything. And that includes our life. And so today, once more, we receive from you truth and a revelation that when we walk out of this place and engage another aspect of this day, you are going to be with us. You're going to still hold things together. You're going to still come alongside of us, ministering hope, grace, wisdom, truth. Is that your nature? And so we welcome your workmanship in our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. How many have ever gone to a buffet? I've been to one in a long time, but gone to a buffet and just ate everything you could see in front of you. I feel that full this morning. I feel really, really full of the goodness of God. You might have to help me down off this platform, but I really feel full. God is good. Amen. If you choose to receive further ministry, our worship team is here and our prayer team is here to create this atmosphere and to pray with you and for you. Love you. Have a great week. Enjoy the goodness of God. And remember this one thing. He's holding you together. Amen? God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.